inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing a cake. What a way to make your day. Sharing K is on the way. It's the 411. We're sharing K. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers. Inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411. We're sharing K. What a way to make a day. Sharing K is on the way.
Hi, this is Bettina Robinson, pastor of the Point Church in Smyrna, Tennessee, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
I just love her. And that's all it is. Hello, Nashville, and all the lovely people out there listening today. And we also want to say hey, hey to the Global Family. What's up, Global Family? Listening at WFSKFM.org. Just delighted to have you tuned in and with us on this early morning on Sunday. And we're just third week of July, Lord. Is time flying or what?
Yes, it is.
I mean, seriously, it's just like sliding by like crazy. Either that or, as the saying goes, we're just getting older. No, it's flying by, okay? Even the young ones recognize that to be the facts. It seems to be flying by for them as well. But it is going to fly with heat. It's going to be hot. Blistering.
Blistering hot, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's hot.
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday, just in my random, in the car thoughts. Random thoughts from the car. You remember in the early days of when the coronavirus was first started being discussed and dealt with in this country, people used to say, turn the heat up.
Turn the heat up.
Because that'll kill
the
virus.
Oh, that'll kill the virus.
And now, okay, it's going to be almost 100.
And it still hasn't gone anywhere.
Because, you know, in Arizona, it's like 110 and all that.
And that's hot.
So, you know, I'm just saying, so much for that theory, okay? Because heat has not killed anything. And that was in the early days. I'm not hearing anybody mention that now, though, that, you know, turn the heat up. They're not saying that one now, because all they got to do is step outside, and they will discover that it's hotter than the blue blazes. But that's what summer is, and summer is that time, you know, a lot more people out and about, you know, and then some of them go out, get what they need, and come straight back in, which works for me. You know, I'm not in the mood to do a whole lot of this and that. No, I'm just, you know, I'm staying low to the ground.
That's right.
Trying to, you know, stay healthy as possible and do some things that I need to do around the house. And I don't. I'm lying because I'm not. I started out doing that, and I was like, man, enough. So I'm just chilling now, you know.
So am I.
Yeah, that's about all you can do.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to sit outside, but it's just too hot. And, you know, you want to do this and that or go for a walk or whatever. Too hot. Although you can walk when the sun first comes up.
Yeah, or when it goes down.
Yeah. But it's still hot when it goes down. It was hot last night till late, you know. So air conditioners are going at full speed ahead.
Yes, they are.
And people that don't have them, that just have fans, are just got to be suffering. And, you know, I thank God for AC. And,
you know, speaking of AC, when I get another email from these people, there are a few companies that are installing solar panels on homes for free.
Free?
Free.
Well, you got to buy the panels.
No, they'll do it as part of a, energy, one of those energy moves to try.
Are you sure that's real? Because, you know, well, there's a whole lot of fake stuff out there.
We'll check into it.
Yeah.
And but they're putting the panels on people's homes.
I need to, follow up, make sure there's no catch in that.
Yeah.
Because everything that every email.
I know what you mean, because when I saw it, I said, hey.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Everything you read and see, you know, it cannot definitely be trusted. So I'm just saying, what's the source?
That's what I'm going to continue to double check. There were two companies. One gave me a call, and the other one I saw online. So
I'm suspect already.
But it was more than one. So, but yeah.
Smell like scam to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smell kind of.
Yeah, let's see though. Yeah.
Well, that's what they say until they get to your house and.
Oh, then they ride up and say, well.
Oh, by the way, we had to do this and that. And
I do have to charge you for installation.
Right. Yeah, there's no free. There's no such a thing as that. Somebody somewhere is paying for it. And I am from the school of I ain't believing that one. So, yes, and you thoroughly vet that information before you even mention it, because it just sounds way too good to be true. And it might not even be like the right size or kind, you know. We'll put on one panel, and then the other 10 you got to buy.
Yeah.
It's just hard to tell, because people, you know.
Buy 10, get one free.
Yeah. Or buy 5, get 5.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just anything just to get some money, because people are being very inventive right now in ways to get money out of you. Doing a little bit of everything. Lying, cheating, and stealing. And, you know, when they call me about anything, I'm like, click. I'm not hearing any of that. And I certainly don't believe an email. My bad. I'm just not, you know. Unless I'm familiar with or I know it's coming. Or someone that I've done business with. But all the blue stuff, click here and we'll send you a $50 gift card. And what a mistake that is for people who've done that one.
That's right.
And, you know, next thing you know, they're all kind of stuff is breaking out. Because, you know, we're in a different time, y'all. And, of course, many of you realize that now. And I don't know where you've been. Because it's a whole new world. Seriously. And what was the show, TV show from back in the day? It's a different world.
Yeah, it's a different world.
Much different.
Dwayne Wayne.
Oh, yeah. That's just totally different. Wasn't Queen Latifah in that movie?
No, that was Whitley. What was her real name?
Jasmine Guy.
Jasmine Guy.
You know, she's been on the show before.
That's right. For the, what was it, the Black Film Festival? National Black Film Festival?
No, she was on for something else.
Okay.
She was on doing a play in Atlanta or something.
Okay.
Yeah. That was, what, about 4 or 5 years ago?
I think longer than that.
Really?
Yeah. Because the formerly, her last name isn't Wagner anymore, but, you know, Kay.
Yeah.
That was one of her business.
Yeah. In Atlanta. Her clients.
I think she called in, one of her clients.
Okay.
She said, please don't call her Whitney. She doesn't like that.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Because that role was one of.
Stereotype. Yeah.
Yeah. And I forgot who the rest of them was on there, on that show.
Sinbad.
Oh, he sure was.
Sinbad. Dwayne Wayne, and the girl from the Cosby Show. Those are the main, the oldest daughter. I can't think of her name. She was married to Lenny Kravitz for a while, but
Man, whatever. Sinbad still out there?
He is. I saw he was doing something. He does a few. Well, he was before all this doing some smaller events.
Yeah.
Still doing some stand up here.
He
and there.
Used to be so dang funny.
Yeah.
That dude was hysterical.
Because he did that clean comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was just funny. And that's all
he used to do those cruises. Was it cruises or Jamaica or something like
on
that?
On the beach.
Yeah.
Or
yeah, them festivals.
Yeah. Back in the day. Those were the good old days,
yeah,
you know, the days we reminisce on those days.
Yeah.
the remember when.
When people used to gather and hang out.
Yeah. And nobody got cut.
Nobody got sick.
Nobody got shot. They just went and had fun. Y'all remember them days? Oh, children, y'all don't remember those days. But we remember, you know, other folk, mm-hmm. we remember. I know my kids remember. And then stuff dramatically changed in their lives when they got a little bit older as things changed in the world, you know, the drugs, the cocaine era that plagued the black community like a disease that it was, and the violence that came along with it, and the stereotypes that came along with that. Many a family lost a loved one during that time frame as well. You know, and also a lot of folks, you know, that's when the shootings and stuff, you know, going to parties and shooting, mm-hmm. and, you know, drive-bys and all that insanity, mm-hmm. that has kind of sprung from that, or evolved from that. Because, you know, you just used to be able to just enjoy yourself.
Yeah, go to a party
and come
fun.
Home and not be shot or wounded. You know, you could just go somewhere and not have to duck and take cover and all that. But on the other side of that, there's more guns on the streets than this country has ever had.
Before.
Ever. So, you know, you give people 300, 400 million guns, guess what? Folk gonna get shot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, I am not surprised by the numbers, because that kind of the two things kind of go together. Anyway, a couple of quick notes before I roll into the seriousness of this morning. This is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July. We have several returning pastors that were with us some years back, and we're happy to have them with on the show today. Reverend Leon Corder of Swift Tabernacle, so the Swift Tabernacle family can hear Rev this morning, and Reverend Jerry Maynard of Southside Community Church, and the Southside Community Church family.
Two of my favorite people
can hear their Revs, and I said, Jerry, don't you not talk. Now, he started laughing. I said, I'm just playing. You know, it's like telling me I can't say nothing. What? Oh, I'm about to go off now. He said, oh, never mind. He was just asking you. I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. Because I've been knowing him for time since time immemorial. And the family and stuff. And every time I've ever interviewed him, he was never short on words, never. So whatever, never. And that's from the early days of when Jerry was on the early show, back almost 20 years ago when he was on the show. We would talk on the air and stuff. So we're going to have a lot to talk about today. And in particular, we're going to talk about, with the pastors, the impact of losing two huge icon of the movement.
Yes, huge.
And ties to Nashville and ties to Fisk University and, of course, to American Baptist College.
Yeah.
And the institutions and the movement that put
Nashville
put Nashville on the map for so many things. And, you know, to this day, that our city, you know, I would hope they would give us
that embraced.
Well, they would give the institutions more love and respect. And, you know, small tokens of appreciation are okay, but the large tokens of appreciation would be even better, because they still shouldn't struggle.
Yeah.
And that Nashville loves to tout this and that, and blah blah blah, but then when the big money, big papas of Nashville give, it's not to them And y'all know I'm going to tell the truth. Ain't no sense. Nobody's paying me to sit up here and tell you anything different, okay? Because I have to call it like it is. Ain't no sense in lying. You know, I'm not on the payroll to lie. Whole truth or nothing but. Because that's where you see what happens. You can just look at the lay of the land and, you know, see how things go. So, oops, my bad. So, you know, I'm making that statement out of what I visualize and see and observe. And I've been here 34 years, man. That's a long time.
It is.
So, you know, I done seen some stuff.
So, are you a Nashvilleian yet?
You know, I was told by several.
Not long, not yet.
Right. I was told by several.
You haven't been here long enough?
No, they said, I'm in.
Oh, you in? Okay.
Yeah, I passed the threshold. And they said, no, you one of us now, Sherry Kay. And that was about maybe 10 or so years ago. So I was like, whew.
You got to be here 20 years.
Well, I mean, because I felt, you know, you were outside or you were inside. Yeah. And, you know, you don't know because you wasn't here. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay. So every year I would sweat and ask, am I one of y'all yet? I had a couple people that know me well say, yes, you us. You is us. I was talking to my cousin at home last night. She was giving me the community death roll as she keeps track in a small town of everybody who died and everybody I went to school with that died and this and that. And I was reminding her how long I've been gone. She said, 34, yeah. I said, yes, I have been gone that long. And it just seems so utterly amazing that, you know, when I go home, most of the people, they don't, some know me, but some don't have any idea.
Cause yeah.
New transplants.
Yeah, new people.
Yeah, that's how it is. But anyway, having said all of that, we definitely this morning want to give some light to the loss of the Strong Towers and what they have meant to everyone. And I felt like in all the stories and things I've watched, there wasn't enough emphasis placed on the impact of the universities and the institutions that helped to mold John Lewis. C.T. Vivian, of course, has spent many times in Nashville, and much that was just almost too much to lose them back to back like that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it does signify a different time. But I wanted to, don't play it yet.
Gotcha.
I wanted to, give me a couple of minutes. I wanted to read the official statement from the university. And, because I've yet to really hear and all the stuff MSNBC did, none of them mentioned that he attended here and got his degree.
Wow.
And until I heard Ambassador Young say it when he was on one of the interviews. And none of MSNBC's, they didn't touch on the fact that the man had education. And I wanted to bring light to that today.
Yeah.
And the university had put out a statement yesterday that says Fisk University joins the world in mourning the loss of one of her sons ever on the altar, Congressman John Lewis, as well as honoring his legacy and commitment to justice and nonviolence. And the statement goes on to say, and statement and story, John Robert Lewis, beloved civil rights leader, congressman, and Fisk grad, class of 1967. So y'all know he was educated, okay? Had a degree from here. Will forever be a part of the Fisk University fabric. Across the world, the Fisk University family mourns the loss of our brother, Congressman John Lewis, a son ever on the altar. As a Fisk University student, Congressman John Lewis served as president of the Nashville Student Nonviolent Movement and stood at the forefront of sit-in protests in Nashville. Congressman Lewis never allowed his focus on social justice, equality, and civil rights to be stunted by the racism and discrimination that he and others experienced instead. He reached high as a leader, leaving a most impressive barrier-breaking and inspiring legacy in America. He often stated rather that he was inspired to get in trouble. During a visit to Nashville in 2012, he said, "I was inspired to get in the way. For more than 50 years, I've been getting in the way. I've been getting in trouble, good trouble, necessary trouble," he said. At the age of 20, and a recent graduate of American Baptist Theological Seminary, Congressman Lewis enrolled at Fisk University in 1961 to pursue a degree in religion and philosophy. He would prematurely end his studies at Fisk, taking on a more significant role as the national chairman of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, a position he held until 1965. Congressman Lewis returned to Fisk and completed his studies, earning his BA degree in 1967. Congressman Lewis continued his work for social justice and equality, becoming in 1971 the executive director of the Voter Education Project, an organization focused on improving voting in the South. In 1986, he was elected to serve in the U.S. House of Representatives for the 5th District of Georgia. For over 30 years, Congressman Lewis served the people of Georgia and the United States, always making good trouble and leading as the conscience of Congress. In May 1990, Fisk University awarded Congressman John Lewis an honorary Doctor of Laws degree for his dedicated career as an elected official, commitment to civil rights and social change, and activism leadership dating back to his years as an undergrad student. During a visit to Fisk on December 13, 1968, Congressman Lewis emphasized that Fisk was a site of the birth of a great movement and that many people have emerged from here. During his visits to his alma mater, he never missed the opportunity to encourage students, inspiring students from the 1970s into the 2000s to continue the fight for equality, continue work to dismantle systems of oppression, always exercise their potential right, and of course to vote. Fisk University joins the world in mourning the loss of Congressman Lewis, as well as uplift his legacy and commitment to social justice and nonviolence. Through the decades, he not only gave all of himself to the cause of freedom and justice, but inspired generations that followed to live up to his example. Those are the words of former President Barack Obama. President Obama said, "When I was elected President of the United States, I hugged him on the inauguration stand before I was sworn in and told him I was only there because of the sacrifices he made." And Senator McCain, John McCain, had said before he passed, "I've seen courage in action on many occasions. I can't say I've seen anyone possess more of it and use it for any better purpose and to any greater effort than John Lewis." And Congressman Lewis's words is how the statement ends. And Congressman Lewis said, "Each person's contribution is a personal one, and therefore each person has to ponder the right, the problem, and act according to his philosophy and commitment." It's a personal thing. And you have to ponder, you got to think about it, and then you move on it. So those were the words of Congressman John Lewis. And we all are in deep thought and prayer for his son and other family members and siblings. You know, his wife Lillian passed in 2012, And the Lewises only had one son, John mm-hmm. Miles. So our thoughts and prayers are with them as well as the family of C.T. Vivian. Two towers.
Yeah.
Gone. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Next time on Jazz Night in America, a brief history of mambo and the music of Orquesta Acocan, and we're hanging at the Musical Instrument Museum in Phoenix.
Museo para visitarlo casi un día entero o varios días.
He's saying it's a museum for one day or a couple days.
All that on the next Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Jazzy 88 WFSK is reminding you that your vote is your voice. Early voting for the state and federal primary runs from July 17th through August 1st. Important seats for various offices are on this year's ballot. If you're a registered voter and do not wish to vote in person due to the COVID-19 pandemic, you are eligible to request an absentee ballot by mail. It must be completed and received in the Davidson County Election Commission office by July 30th. You also have the option to vote in person during early voting or on Election Day. And again, WFSK, Nashville's Jazz Station, is reminding you that your vote is most definitely your voice.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mm-hmm. And the air on, too. I didn't used to be able to sit on the air with the air on. I'm like, you know what? They just going to hear that noise. They're going to hear it blowing. Because it's you know, warmed up already. But let me tell you about some quick on the weather. I guess I'll just say ditto or more of the same, because essentially that's what's up. We have a heat advisory in effect starting at 10 o'clock this morning until 6 o'clock this evening. The heat index value is expected to be up to 107. Oh, I know what I'm going to be doing. Portions of the mid-state area are included in the advisory, which goes until 6 o'clock this evening. The hot temperatures with the high humidity may cause heat illnesses to occur. So knowing that's the case, and in the advisory, they're telling folks, you know, just use your head, number one. Drink plenty of fluids. Stay in an air-conditioned room if you can. Stay out of the sun and check up on relatives and neighbors. Young children and pets should never be left unattended in vehicles under any circumstances. Take extra precautions if you work or spend time outside, and when possible, reschedule strenuous activities to early morning or evening. And do know the signs and symptoms of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. So be sure to think about some light clothing. Of course, many of you have. And I have already been wearing your loose fitting. clothing. I've seen some tight outfits, though, out there. Tight as in fabric on you tight. So no, some young ladies aren't doing that. They're just doing tight. And, of course, you know, that's to reduce the risk during outdoor weather. The OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, recommends scheduling rest breaks in a shaded or air-conditioned environment. And anyone overcome by heat should be moved to a cool and shaded location. Heat stroke can happen, and it is an emergency. And if that's the case, please call 911. And that's for just all of the mid-state area, top to bottom, and all of our counties around Davidson. It's going to be blister. So you know that. You can just tell what yesterday. It's going to be warmer than yesterday. Almost 100 today. 98, 96 the next couple days after that. Slight chances for rain this week. Currently, it's 80 already. At 7:30 in the morning, it's 80. So that's for real. Keep that heat advisory in mind and try to stay in as much as possible between that 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, on Tuesday, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to introduce my pastors that are with me today, is our community mask giveaway. You all come, ride through, kitchen can have the air conditioner on. We ain't going to be holding you. You know, we're going to ask you how many masks you want, and bloom, here you go, bye. And then you ride through at, we're partnering with the health department and the Frist Museum. And the Frist has that little drive-through area because it used to be the post office, you know, like you're dropping off mail and all. So we'll be on the Broadway side and come through the little drive-through, which is now their valet. Get you get your mask and go. And we'll be out there. Me and X, you coming, right? You're going to be there.
Most definitely. Okay. Yes.
We'll be out there with someone from the health department and someone from the Frist. And waving and giving away masks. And by,
I'll have to wear shorts that day.
Who you? Who? Look, that's the gear of the day right there. Station shirt and shorts, that's what's up. And flip-flops, you know, that's what's up. So you come down Broadway, you'll see us between 10 and noon. Well, this is our part. We're just doing our little small part for the community. And you all know that this coronavirus does not care what political party you in, what color you are, your zip code. It does not care about that, all right? It's real. It's not fake. It's not made up. It's real. Now, having said that, let me introduce two returning pastors. Been some years since they have been with us. Good morning. Good morning, Reverend Leon Corder.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless you.
God bless you. How are you?
I am super fantastic. Just holding on. Getting in his wheel and staying out of his way.
Amen.
How you doing?
I am still standing and I'm still the same. Ain't nothing changed about me.
Amen.
I'm still working for Jesus and doing my part and grateful and, you know, wearing my mask and, you know.
Amen.
But I am trying not to be a fool like some folk. But we'll talk about that later. Reverend Corder, could you tell the audience, please, where Swift Tabernacle is?
We are right in the center of Metro Center, 905 Clay Street, not far from the Maxwell House Hotel, right here in the inner city, here in Nashville, Tennessee, 905 Clay Street.
Okay. And let me also say good morning to my longtime friend, Reverend Jerry Maynard. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Sherry, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good to see you all.
I know you're not supposed to say that to a minister, but, you know.
You can say it all. Okay. We've been so close for so long. 25 years. So you can be a Jerry curse.
I do. I was just joking earlier about you and I when we talked Thursday or whatever it was. And, you know, I was saying that, Jerry, I know you're gonna be all quiet and everything. You know, we laugh so hard. We laugh so hard, and because we know good and well that's not the case.
The Lord says that a man that can bridle with his tongue is a wise man. Okay. So I'm still trying to get wisdom.
I heard that. It's a tough job though when you got something to say, you know. Now, right. You are the pastor of Southside Community Church. Please tell everyone where Southside is.
Thank you so much. We're Southside Community Church, and we appreciate this opportunity to be with you, and also with my colleague in the work and working for the Lord of Swift Tabernacle. We're located at 901 Acland Avenue. It's our new location. We just moved there 2 months ago. And so we're at 901 Acland Avenue in Nashville, in the South Nashville area.
Now, what is that off over near?
It is the historic Mount Gilead Church building where we worship now. If you're familiar with that, it's between 8th Avenue and 10th Avenue, right off of Wedgwood.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly where that is. Mm-hmm. Well, bless the Lord. Now, let me start with you, Reverend Corder. Could you tell our audience the impact that it's had on the Swift Tabernacle's worship service and everything since the coronavirus, and how are y'all handling that kind of work there at the church?
Yes, it has been, to say the least, it has been a challenge up and down. First of all, the up challenge is it has exposed the church in many ways of things that we, when we were streaming before COVID-19, we thought we had it going on as far as being full homes and all that, but it helped us realize that there were some things we needed to do to present a better product. Mm-hmm. It also helped us understand that how important the work is outside of the church, mm-hmm. just as much as the work we do inside the four walls. We talk mm-hmm. about it, we preach about it, but now we're actually having to live it. Mm-hmm. The downside of it is the people. There are some people that many people, including myself, we need that contact. Mm-hmm. We need that face-to-face interaction. Mm-hmm. And it has really caused a lot of people to suffer from mm-hmm. A lot of my members, church people in general, just suffering from depression, mm-hmm. Just trying to maintain. And I think the Lord, several years ago, I got my master's in psychology. Mm-hmm. So as a counselor, I've been able to navigate, you know, and help through some of these areas, but it has impacted the church in a way that, you know, it's one thing when we were coming up, mm-hmm. I'm 53. It's one thing when we didn't go to church because we didn't want to. It's another thing you're faced with the first time in your life when you want to and you can't. Mm-hmm. And so from a psychological and spiritual standpoint, mm-hmm. You know, we are people that we hate somebody tell us what we can't do.
Well,
you know, and mm-hmm. so from that aspect, we are having to be more creative and even more out of the box on how we stay committed and mm-hmm. connected mm-hmm. with the Word of God out, but really to minister to people on a whole nother level. So it's really challenging us to be more resourceful in how we connect.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how it took all this for the church to come out, you know.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
Have mercy. Now, what about you, Reverend Jerry?
So our church, when we were founded, my wife at the time, we started the church. It was just she and I mm-hmm. and my son. And so what we did is I rented vans, and I went to the halfway houses, and I went to the homeless shelters, both the women's and the men's homeless shelters, mm-hmm. and went to the senior towers. And so mm-hmm. we had our church as a community church. And so that's how we started, and for the last 10 years, that's what we've done. Mm-hmm. And so our church has really been on the ministry outside the building. Hmm. We always say church service starts a benediction, and so we are the church. The church is not the building. The church is not the it's not the building. It's us. And that's how we did. So when COVID-19 happened, it shut down exactly who we are, because that's like, you know, we could no longer put people in vans.
Right.
We could no longer go and pick people up. We had to go minister. We had to minister there. But then it was like, no, it's a shutdown. Hmm. So it changed us. Now, here's where it changed me. Reverend Porter was talking about his experience. Here's my experience. I had refused to use technology, digital technology. Mm-hmm. I refused to use all the technology that my dad, Bishop Maynard, has been using for years. Mm-hmm. I refused to use GiveLify. I felt like if you don't give, you need to give at the church. You know. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden, here comes Pastor Maynard. I had to change. And what changed me is, you know, let's go buy some cameras and let's go use social media and let's go reach the world and just let's use the technology that God has afforded us in order to do his work and his ministry. And so that the change was is that yes, we could not do what we normally do,
right?
And which is every week is to go out and pick people up and go minister to them and bring them to the church and then take them back home. But it also changed me, and my dad and I talk about it all the time. You know, I've never done anything with GiveLify or Cash App or any of those things. And all of a sudden, you know, Pastor Maynard, now we're on social media. We never had a website shared. We didn't have a website. So we built a website. We've done YouTube. We're now on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And we never did that before. So that's how it's changed. But, you know, as Pastor said, for the black church especially, the black church has been the epicenter of our community.
Right.
It has been everything from education to civil rights to social justice to, to you name it. I mean, that's where the church is, where you went. And so for the actual building not to be open, for some people, it's also a social place where you go for socialization. And so for those people who look at the church from that perspective, I can see, you know, how they can get depressed. For us, that's not what the case was, but it's really opened me up, and Reverend Lawson, your friend could tell you, you know, I'm trying to catch up with all these other pastors who have been using technology for years.
Yeah.
Ask them, how's that giving now?
How's it going now?
Man, it's Jared, you know, the Lord allows things to happen in order to kick you up the nest and get you off your butt.
Yeah.
And so now, like before, we had anywhere from 70 to 100 people come to church every Sunday. Well, now on our Facebook, you know, we got 400, 500 people watching. Wow. I'm like, oh, my Lord, you know. So we're reaching more people.
Right.
We're reaching more people through the technology that we have, even though we're not reaching them the way we used to reach them before.
Yeah.
And again, not seeing. And what used to bless me as a pastor was to come to church and see lives that have been changed. See somebody used to be on crack, or somebody used to be homeless. Somebody who just got divorced and was downtrodden, and then to see them now when I'm at church, and that would lift my spirit up. Okay, God, this is why we do what we do.
Right.
So not to have to be able to see their faces, not to be able to see the living word, I talk about the testimony, that camaraderie, the coming together, the fellowshipping together, we don't have that. But if you look about how we've been able to reach, I have people who said, man, I didn't know you preached. I knew you as a lawyer or as a councilman. And now I'm watching you every Wednesday and Sunday. I've got people from all over the country now who are watching and giving to our church. Like I said, through technology. And the church has grown from that perspective of how we reach people. And that's been a difference.
Wow. That's interesting. Now, hopefully those 400 are dropping a little something in the house, you know. Because I have found through this radio station that just because they're looking and listening don't mean they're giving. Amen?
That's correct. That's a correct point.
Yeah, because it does it's not
I don't know how Pastor Corder is doing it, but
it's not a panacea, baby. It's not going to be an instant cash register. It's just not going to happen. They're going to absorb and keep it. So, I mean, you know, it just is reality, and I wish people didn't feel that way and didn't think like that. And blessed where the blessing is coming from, you know, God, but, you know, bless the house. Amen, Revs. I mean, you know, bless the
house. Amen. Well, okay. And that's the other thing. One of the things that it also done is we have a lot of people in churches that are paid staff that I think because we were basically doing our Bible studies in Sundays, they got to hide during the weekdays.
Okay.
Well, now, this is leadership up front.
Right.
And you get to see who you were paying to do nothing.
Amen.
You know, or who was volunteering, but really, you know, you really get to see were they just gifted or were they anointed to do this?
Right.
Were they a volunteer or were they called?
Yeah.
And so it's in this season right here when you really get to see those that that have a calling of the anointing of God on their life are those, and we thank God for the volunteers, but this season right here.
Uh-oh, we lost. Well, let's get him back. Things just go down. Y'all know technology. You see, we'll see it on TV all the time. Stuff is not perfect. So it's not going to be perfect here either. It is what it is. We're going to take a time out and we'll be back more with the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blue Simon City, guess who we got in the studio for the entire show?
I can do that. He said, do what? I said, what those people were doing on the stage? I can do that.
That's Miss Jody, the hottest lady on the Southern Soul scene today. And yes, she can do that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Join me, Arojine Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blue Simon City this weekend with Miss Jody right here. Catch Blue Simon City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's jazz station, and our community partners, the Frist Art Museum and the Metro Health Department, are having a mask giveaway on Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. We'll be live on location at the Frist Museum, 919 Broadway outside in the valet drive-thru. All you have to do is drive through, get your free mask, and go. We're doing our part for the community. That's our community mask giveaway Tuesday, July 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. It's one of our ways to encourage Nashvillians and visitors to the city to mask up for health's sake in slowing down the COVID-19 pandemic in our city.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University, and What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July this morning, and I'm happy to have this month, two returning pastors from some years back who are with us this morning from their homes and while we're in our studio homes. And Reverend Leon Corder is back from Swift Tabernacle, and Reverend Jerry Maynard of Southside Community Church. And you were speaking, Reverend Corder, and the phone just cut out. Do you remember what it was that you were just saying?
Yes, I was just speaking to how the shade, the lampshade, has come off the lamp when it comes to those that are in leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, the to see who's really in it to win it, or who was just there for show. I've talked to a lot of pastors, and they talk about how they've had to release staff during this season because they had people that were hiding behind the weekdays. And just showing up on the weekends. But now that you know, we've had to really get outside of the box, how they really have not been able to meet people that were getting paid to do mm-hmm. this, or volunteers, hmm. were not really stepping up to the plate, because they, you know, I've worked more in this season than I have, I can tell you, any other time. Just from what Bishop Maynard, Bishop, I said something there, Bishop. Grab that. just from what he was speaking to, just the challenges of social media, uh-huh. Making sure that your presentation, your production presentation. And so probably the first 2 or 3 months, I literally was putting in 10, 12 hours a day at yeah. the church.
Wow.
Between the people and the programming.
Yeah.
And so it has been a really great challenge. And when you're going through something like this, you need folk on the front lines. You don't need folk cheering. You need them working.
Yeah.
And so you don't need no cheerleaders right now. You need people playing in the game.
Yeah.
And definitely. So that's something that I truly have noticed. And my prayer, and I know you're going to hit this, but my prayer is that these folk that refuse to wear masks would put them on so we could get back. So
help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. That's the only way we're going to get through it.
Yes.
You know, the longer they prolong this, the longer we have to. I mean, it's just so stupid. I mean, it's like, how stupid is it? Well, we're in a pandemic, once-in-a-lifetime event, and you refuse to cooperate because you support the president. I'm like, how insane, it, you know. That to me is off the chart crazy. There's no other explanation for it, you know.
Well, there is for them. If you don't mind, let me just say this quickly, because I'm one of those ones. I like to I always carry my knife. I like to cut up the elephant that's in the room.
Yeah.
when you see how, when they get reports of how it affects our communities.
Yeah.
What happens oftentimes, and I don't hear this being talked about enough. They if they have it and they feel like it does more harm to us,
yeah,
then why would they wear a mask?
Well,
but they are so foolish in it that they don't realize how it affects their parents, grandparents,
right.
You know, and their folk also. But there are a sect of folk that are Trumpers, for, you know, whatever they, you know, however they want to deal with that. But if they feel like they can infect us and wipe us out, they don't put out their own lives because they're too busy trying to devalue our lives.
Wow, that's deep. And at times, it feels so much like that. What do you say, Reverend Maynard?
I agree with the pastor. The worst thing that happened to us black folks is when they said, in this country, is when the reports came out and showed that disproportionately impacted African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as that was said, the entire country changed for half the country, or 37% of the country
mm-hmm.
decided all of a sudden wearing a mask is a constitutional issue.
Right.
You know, and so it's just, and I agree with Reverend Corder, it 100%. But what I'm dealing with right now is, you know, as a pastor, I have the mothers of the church,
mm-hmm.
deacons of the church,
right.
and all of them, I wish I had some younger deacons, but all of them are over the age of 50, 55, 60, 70, 80
right.
years old.
Right.
And
right.
we had to say, we're not going to, as much as they wanted to come to the church, and as much as they wanted to serve, I said, hey, we got to serve outside the mm-hmm. outside the building, help
Amen.
Us serve, but we, you know, we're not going to have more than 10 people in the building to do the production. And I did not want the mothers and the deacons there. Even when we social distance, because that was just, as a shepherd, I don't want to put them in that position.
Exactly.
And so what we did is we said, okay, so I've gone to the houses and we continue to worship, and some of our more aged didn't have technology. So I thank God for the assistant pastors
mm-hmm.
who were able to help some of our those of us who are not as have the technology expertise
yeah.
on how to get a Facebook page or whatever so that we can still have worship.
Yeah.
I just, Sharon, here's the deal, is that what it's also done is, as Reverend Corder said, that you can't hide on the weekend, is that you can't hide by being a church member anymore. And now
that's right.
really a thing of, what is your relationship with Christ?
Right.
This was COVID-19 that showed, you can't hide behind being an usher or on the board of trustees,
right,
and that's your reasonable service,
yeah,
or that you're a mother or you help with the communion.
Right.
No, now it is, what is your relationship with Christ?
Yes.
And what COVID-19 has allowed me to do is to really dig deep in, what does the church actually mean?
Amen.
And what does it mean to me spiritually? And what does it mean for this community?
Yeah.
And then how do we challenge each other to get closer to Christ?
Yeah.
Even in social distancing.
Yeah. Well, the church is not the building, you know. And that's the part I don't know if the church itself has taught that enough. You know, the church is the people and what's in you. And it certainly is not the bricks and mortar. You know, that's just the place where you go. So, you know, it really has thrown the cover back. The tsunami, you know, if the tsunami comes, it pulls the water way back, and you see all the garbage at the bottom of the ocean. And this thing has revealed so much in so many ways. It's unbelievable. We have seen breakdowns in preventive care. We've seen breakdowns in the system, healthcare system. We have seen leadership failure, colossal failure in leadership. We've seen a genuine lack of concern by the leadership at the White House to the life, breath, and families in this country. And that, to me, is appalling. That's the role you are to serve. You're supposed to love this country and the people in it and not just pick out certain ones. That is one of the main dividers that I see plaguing the communities right now, is this sense of being not together, no civic duty and responsibility. And Reverend Corder, I know spiritually and biblically you can probably preach on that subject for now till the end of September. What the Bible, thus says the Lord, on divided people, sowing seeds of discord. And, you know, when people are just as disobedient as they have been, where would you go today in a sermon on that subject?
Well, I believe in just, you know, I'm old school, telling it like your TIE is, as granddaddy used to say.
Well.
I think a part of the problem is, it's hard to handle the second pandemic when you don't handle the first pandemic.
True.
And the first pandemic is racism. The first pandemic is hatred.
Yeah.
And one of the things that brought the lid off of that is when President Obama, when we had him as president, racism, they came closet and taken off, but dealing with all of our lives, that pandemic has never been dealt with.
Yeah.
And so now when you have two pandemics at the same time,
sure,
one that's always existed and one is new, and you never dealt with the first one.
Amen.
And now you couple the second one with it.
Mm-hmm.
The only place we can go to is God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, we have to make sure that, especially we black folk, we African Americans,
mm-hmm,
we have to make sure that we cannot be quiet.
Mm.
We have to shout at the top of the mountain, in the valley, and we have to make sure that, yeah, COVID-19 is going to be around.
Yes.
Like racism has been around.
Yeah.
And so I just believe, you know, my word for my church, my encouragement for people in general is, you know, a closed mouth never gets fed.
Well,
if you want to see something, you have to say something. If you want to see change, you got to speak your change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we are. And so we're dealing with two pandemics at the same time.
Mm.
One has been here and never gone away. One has just showed up and it's not going away anytime soon.
Mm. What about you, Minister Maynard?
My challenge is to white evangelicals and other Negro preachers who support Donald Trump,
mm-hmm,
and have looked beyond this corrupt man whose soul is corrupt, who has racism and hatred, misogynistic, and yet they supported him and said that God appointed him and he's anointed by God. Mm-hmm. And the blasphemy of the white evangelicals and their support for him. You know, I expect Satan to work. I expect people who are not saved, who do not have Christ Jesus in their life. I mean, I'm talking about really loving the Lord. I expect them to do what they do. That's why we have the church. That's why we are together, because we are here knowing that Satan is going to and fro, seeking who he can devour. I get that. That's the role. And as a pastor, I can't fight with the human weapons, but I got to fight the spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. But then when the spiritual warfare, we got enemies in the camp. Well, I got white evangelicals who are still saying that this is a man of God, appointed by God, anointed by God.
Help us, Lord.
That's, to me, is where the breakdown is. So that Reverend Corden said, we got to speak truth to power.
Yes.
I got to speak truth to my white brothers and sisters. Like, you see, that as a result of your not only tolerance, but your celebration of this man and saying that he's anointed by God, and the blasphemy of that. And yet here you had a church going, father of two beautiful girls, married to one woman, who went to church and has epitomized, he's more saved than me, because if somebody had called my wife a monkey or ape, I would have had the FBI and the Secret Service and everybody else at their house. So he's more saved than me, Reverend. I got to admit that. Here's Barack Obama, and you all say he's not even a Christian, wow, not even an American, and you delegitimize him. And then here comes this man who sleeps with a prostitute and porn star while he's married, has been corrupt his entire life, and you then say that God's hand is on him?
Right.
This is, to me, I got to deal with that. And I wrote one of the general board members of the Church of God in Christ, which I'm a member, was at the White House talking about this man is a... Man, I wrote him a letter like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
You know, and I told my dad before, just in case he, you know, I got kicked out or whatever. But it's like, how could you do this? And so we first have to start within our own camp on this side of the ledger, as we are dealing with the evils of this warfare of hatred, this warfare of racism.
Mm-hmm.
We first have to, on this ledger, you call yourself saved and sanctified or Christian, then you got to act like Christ.
Mm. Amen. So, and you know, I got to go to break, but let's pick up after that thought, because Reverend Jerry, that's what, to me, the folks who've been hollering, let me get in the church, and I want to be, excuse me, y'all, you're the worst ones, some of the folk that's in the white evangelicals. They're some of the worst ones that when it comes to showing what Christianity and spirituality really are. It's just the absolute worst. And but we need to take a quick time out, and then we're going to pick up this discussion, because if the church don't speak out against themselves, they need to quit talking about everybody else. And I ain't calling no names out there of the pastors, but I'm just saying the church need to address its own stuff. And that's what y'all are talking about today. And I'm just thankful that you're here. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.